1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This is your turn, a live call-in show featuring spirited discussion and debate about issues that matter to the community. Your turn is sponsored by People's First Community Bank, the best bank in the neighborhood. Stay with us to hear what Northwest Florida thinks. Better yet, call in at 623-1330 and tell us what you think. It's your turn here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. Now, here's the host of Your Turn.
Hi, my name's Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. Our website is www.cfif.org. Well, the producer, Stan, is rapidly trying to track down my next guest. It's a gentleman by the name of Steve Malloy, who runs an organization with a website. It's called junkscience.com. For those of you out there that have the internet pulled up, you can learn more about Steve Malloy and what we're going to talk about by visiting his website at junkscience.com, an issue that I am very, very interested in. While we wait for Stan to try and get Mr. Malloy on the line, I do want to let you know that in 2 weeks we will be airing an interview that I am going to unfortunately have to pre-tape, and that's an interview with John Ashcroft. It's on a brand new book that he's got out. It's called Never Again. Many of you may have already seen the book, but it's called Never Again by John Ashcroft. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to schedule it at the time that this program runs, so I am going to have to pre-tape it. But what I'd like to ask is if there are any listeners out there who have questions that they'd like me to ask of Mr. Ashcroft, if you wouldn't mind emailing me those questions, that would be fabulous. And I will go ahead and try and ask him those questions. I am pre-taping the interview next week on Tuesday, and then that will air, let's see, 2 weeks from today would be the 24th when I come back on the program again. I will have that interview in a taped form on October the 24th. I'm not sure yet which time slot we are going to put that in, but I hope you will tune in on the 24th for the interview with John Ashcroft on his book, Never Again. And again, if you have any questions that you'd like me to ask of Mr. Ashcroft, if you would email them to me before next week, Tuesday, I would appreciate that. My email address you can get by visiting our website at www.cfif.org. And you can also just go ahead and interview or send me the question just by clicking on, you know, question, and it'll get to me. You don't have to actually look for me on the website or any of that stuff. Just send it through to the information line. Okay, now Stan was able to track down Mr. Malloy for us, and I'm very pleased that he did. It gave me a couple extra minutes while he was trying to tie us in to open up my bag of chips and my Coke, which thankfully Mr. Malloy is going to let me do based on a recently released study from the Journal of American Medicine that you're coming on to talk with us about. Thank you so much, Mr. Malloy. I'm sorry that you missed your introduction. I went ahead and did your introduction before we got you online. Said all these really wonderful things about you, but you'll have to visit our website to listen to the audio version in order to hear that.
And I certainly will.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. No problem whatsoever. I just do want to confirm that the website, www.junkscience.com, is your website. I gave that out to the listeners so they could pull that up in advance in case they had any questions for you. Now, if you would, please, tell us about this. I'm not much of a fan of dieting, unfortunately. So I was really pleased when I read this press release that came out about a breaking, you know, New York City health activists and their move to ban trans fat. But more importantly, I first want to touch on what the Journal of the American Medical Association came out with. So if you would please educate us.
Well, I guess, you know, earlier in the year, this was a big study and it's a long time coming. Journal of the American Medical Association published several studies indicating that low-fat diets did not provide any health benefits in terms of, you know, reducing the risk of heart disease or cancer. And, of course, you know, that shatters 30 years' worth of myths that have been coming from our public health nannies and the government and who are often the same thing and companies that have been trying to sell us, you know, low-fat products. In terms of heart disease and cancer, you know, no difference. And, you know, as that myth has become debunked, you know, the public health community knew that this was coming because they've, you know, there never was any strong evidence that you know, higher fat diets were linked with, you know, adverse health effects in healthy people, they started working on new scares, and the new scare is so-called trans fats. You know, if you go to your supermarket and look at, you know, the margarine case or crackers, you know, a lot of the boxes will say, packaging will say, trans fat free. And that's because the new scare, you know, the new bad guy is not saturated fats, it's now these trans fats. Saturated fats, you know, like butter has saturated fats in it, and we've been, you know, in the 70s we were cautioned to move into margarine. Margarine was made of trans fats, now margarine supposedly is bad for us. And so last week or 2 weeks ago, New York City basically told its restaurants, you know, they need to start serving food that are not made without trans fats. And, you know, this is just another junk science scare. Trans fats are no more dangerous than saturated fats, which weren't really dangerous at all for, you know, for normal healthy people. And, you know, it's just the food police that, you know, can't let go of, you know, trying to tell us how to live our lives and what to eat.
Why do they get to perpetuate these myths? I mean, who's allowing this to happen? Is it the media? Is it our legislators? Is it the regulators? Is it us? I mean, why do we continue?
Well, we are extremely health conscious, number one. And, you know, you can easily reach us with a message that, you know, this is bad for you or this is good for you, because we're just so health conscious and we're so susceptible to, you know, what we hear on TV or what we read in the paper is true. You know, the government has no incentive to say, oops, we were wrong, because if they say, oops, we were wrong about saturated fat or, you know, the salt or sugar or anything like things like that, then, you know, they just generally lose their credibility.
Or they get sued.
There's no incentive there. The media, they'll just report anything. They, you know, they're not scientists. They don't have any way to analyze, you know, the studies or data. They just basically regurgitate media releases.
Now, this what's going on in New York City? They are looking at banning trans fat, or have they actually done it?
I think they've issued the decree. Now they're trying to figure out how to implement it. And I think they're going to find that it's very difficult because, for example, McDonald's fries its French fries in oil that contains trans fats. And, of course, McDonald's is not going to reformulate its cooking oil for New York City. So how they're going to enforce this, who knows? I mean, how are they going to enforce it in a restaurant setting? You know, it's really just sort of an action without any thinking behind it.
It stuns me that there are people that will sign on to this stuff, you know, like you said, without really looking down the road at the implications.
Yeah, and then, you know, unfortunately, the food industry, you know, they're part and parcel of this, because this is a new reason to reformulate, sell new products at higher prices.
Ah, that's an interesting twist to it all.
Yeah, and it's just really, I hate to use the word conspiracy, but you know, there's no incentive to do the right thing. There is every incentive on the part of every party to do the wrong thing. And, you know, the public is just not served by any of this.
Tell me about some of the things that are going on in some of our state courts, for example. I know that a recent decision in New York court in a case called Noonan versus City of New York. Have you heard about that one?
I'm not sure.
This is another piece of junk science. I mean, these cases are now making it into our court system, aren't they?
Well, they have for a long time, and state courts are particularly susceptible to junk science, because in the federal court system, when a judge is faced with scientific issues, he can convene a panel of experts who will rule on the merits of the science. But in a state court, there's no such system. And so that's, you know, you often see a lot of these huge verdicts come out of state courts based on junk science.
Well, it's interesting because we, on my organization's website, we run weekly what's called the Jester's Courtroom. They're legal tales stranger than fiction. And last week we featured a lawsuit against fast food giants that we deemed wasn't chicken feed. And you probably have heard about this one. It comes from California. Where else?
Mm-hmm.
And the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, which is a group out of Washington, D.C., right, which actually, interestingly enough, a Newsweek article several years ago stated that less than 5% of this organization's, remember, the name is the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, less than 5% of the organization's members are doctors.
Yeah, they're mostly lawyers, probably.
And that they actually have ties, apparently, to PETA. But they have now filed a lawsuit against seven leading fast food chains, including McDonald's and Burger King, two of my favorites, over their use of a dangerous carcinogenic in grilled chicken, they're saying. I mean, is this junk science?
Yeah, excuse me. I mean, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, I mean, it's an extreme vegetarian group. It's not enough for them to have vegetarian diets. They want everybody else to have a vegetarian diet, too. There's nothing to that. I can't imagine the lawsuit they could file that has any merit saying the food is dangerous. I mean, the food is just not dangerous.
Well, you know, apparently the California restaurant industry has come back and said there's no evidence that the small amount, to the extent that there is any of this PHIP, which apparently you get in any food that's grilled. I mean, I don't think, you know, probably if you picked up, you know, a piece of charcoal and licked it, maybe you'd get enough that would make it toxic. But apparently they say that the evidence that the small amount that comes from cooked grilled chicken actually poses, you know,
well, I mean,
does not
pose
a health
risk.
Well,
the whole thing about grilled, charbroiled foods, vegetarians have long been trying to scare the rest of us about them. They have some allies in the National Cancer Institute, you know, the federal research institution.
Big brother.
Who will continue, you know, once in a while they'll put out these studies saying that, oh, charbroiled foods increase the risk of cancer. I debunk these regularly. There's nothing to them. But, you know, you got to deal with them when they come up. And, you know, it's a crazy world.
All right, crazy world. We're going to stay on the left coast in California. Oh, wait, I'm getting the signal that we need to take a quick break. We'll come back again to the left coast in California. I want to talk with you about another, I can't call it anything else other than junk science lawsuit that apparently the Attorney General Lockyer has filed out there in California, if you could help enlighten us about that, if
okay.
You're familiar with it.
I think so.
All right, we're going to take a very short break. Please stay tuned. We are talking with Steve Malloy of the organization. He's got a website up called junkscience.com, and that's exactly what we're talking about is junk science. I hope you'll stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Sandy Blanton here. I've been a real estate broker in our area for 11 years. In order to offer my clients one-stop service, I also became a mortgage broker with Southern Real Estate Lending Corp. We offer all types of both residential and commercial mortgages. Good credit, bad credit, even ugly credit, we can finance anyone. We can meet or beat anyone's rates. Houses, apartment buildings, mobile home parks, office buildings, we can finance them all. Call me now at 484-9650. That's 484-9650. I'm Sandy Blanton with Southern Real Estate Lending Corp.
You know Daryl's Sewing as the home of Swiss quality Bernina, the best sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery machines in the world. Daryl's is also the home for fine fashion fabrics and supplies. And for heirloom sewing, no one has more experience than Mary Dixon at Daryl's. She's the previous owner of the heirloom shop at Seville Square for 25 years. She's now full-time at Daryl's. If you want to do smocking and heirloom sewing, Daryl's has everything you need. The Daryl's classroom has instruction for all levels of sewing, from learn to sew basics to French sewing, quilt classes, and embroidery software classes. For everything to do with sewing, come see Bob Gray and Mary Dixon at Daryl's. As always, Daryl's offers personal service, no-cost extended warranties, 12 months interest-free financing, and free instructional guide classes with the purchase of every Bernina machine. Daryl's Sewing at 5555 North Davis Highway, just north of Brent Lane in Pensacola.
Discover Santa Rosa's hidden treasures each weekend this October. The Beaches to Woodlands Tour offers residents and visitors a self-guided journey featuring heritage, nature-based, and arts and culture venues. One exciting event kicking off the tour is treasure hunting at the October 7th Old Spanish Trail Sale hosted by Antique Stores along the Highway 90 corridor. For a free brochure with detailed maps to all the fun-filled and educational venues on the Beaches to Woodlands Tour, visit your local Chamber of Commerce or www.beaches-rivers.com.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
Okay, we're talking with Steve Malloy, and we're talking about junk science. Steve, if you would please, first of all, give folks a little bit of information about your background, because it's quite impressive.
I am by training a biostatistician, which is someone who uses statistics in biological medical applications, and I'm also a lawyer. I've been affiliated with a number of think tanks, Cato Institute, Competitive Enterprise Institute, National Center for Policy Analysis, Texas.
Are the light bulbs going off for a lot of people right now? That's where I've heard his name.
I manage a mutual fund, and I just do a lot of different things.
And you have junkscience.com on the side or on the front or front burner. We'll put it there.
Well, it's I've been doing it for about 10 years now, so
it runs itself.
You know, quite popular website, and we're trying to keep the junk scientists honest, which is actually impossible.
Right. It's a very difficult task, but an admirable one. Okay, let's talk about this global warming lawsuit out in California that the Attorney General has filed. I mean, first of all, it makes me question, these activist attorney generals out there. That's a whole other radio program. But tell us about what's going on over there.
Well, California AG Bill Lockyer is just California's version of Elliot Spitzer, state attorney general that's out of control. And I guess he thinks he's going to solve the global warming problem all by himself. He has sued car manufacturers out there, six car manufacturers for causing global warming.
I mean, could that happen
really
anywhere
kind of
else?
It's just ludicrous.
Do you think it could happen anywhere else? I mean, is this something we're only going to see in California, or do you think they're going to be able to roll this out in other states? I mean, what are they going to do then? Sue Californians who drive the cars? I mean, they're contributing. Isn't it contributory negligence?
All the other businesses in California. I mean, all you need is an attorney, several attorney generals that are out of their minds, and they can put this together. I mean, look what they did. To the tobacco industry, how they all ganged up on them and extorted $250 billion out of them. Can it happen other places? Yeah, because it has happened other places.
Well, fortunately, I think I just read a statistic that 29 of the 43 elected attorney generals are up for election this November. So maybe we can turn it around a little bit. And, I don't mind them being active. I just don't like them to be activist.
I don't know that it really matters whether they're Republicans or Democrats, because it seems to me that when you're dangling money in front of these guys and they think that, they can, if they can extort money from companies, Republican, Democrat, doesn't really matter. It's just a bad situation.
Yeah, Stan is telling me, the producer, that Lockyer needs to sue Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines.
He may also need to sue the sun.
Yes, absolutely, because apparently that volcano puts out more greenhouse gases than...
Well, we've got some good stuff coming up on global warming in the next couple of weeks, and I urge everyone to come to our website. Some of the stuff is quite revealing. It'll be we're going to great depth for the first time.
Are you debunking any of the stuff that... I know you already have some stuff up there about Al Gore and his movie.
Yeah, Al Gore's stuff is catching on, not because it makes any sense, just because the left is so well funded, and they can, they have the opportunity to repeat this nonsense ad nauseum. It's everywhere all the time, I write a weekly column for Fox News, and Fox News has been, pretty good on by allowing me to, write junk science now for 7 years. But, it seems even Rupert Murdoch has kind of, fallen under Al Gore's spell and seems to be a global warming believer. So it's just a matter of sheer repetition of nonsense.
Are you following at all either of the two cases? And I can't even remember if they're consolidated or not. The U.S. Supreme Court, I understand it has two cases on its docket this term, the new term that just started last week, that actually deal with global warming. They're EPA cases. Are you following those at all?
Yeah, well, basically EPA has declined to regulate carbon dioxide, which the global warming alarmists claim is what's causing global warming. When we burn oil, gas, and coal, we release carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. We also release it when we exhale.
We have to stop breathing.
So they think that EPA should regulate carbon dioxide, and EPA says we don't really have the authority, so it's going up to the Supreme Court now to decide.
But, I think it's a two-part question. I think the first part is, we don't have the authority. And then the second part of the question is, and even if we have the authority, the science isn't definitive on this. And we're not going to.
The Supreme Court will not address the science issue. They will address the authority issue. But you're absolutely right. The science does not show that that human emissions of carbon dioxide are adversely impacting the climate, or that there's anything that can be done about it.
So my hope that when this case is decided by the U.S. Supreme Court, my hope that we will finally get some definitive answer on, you know, the government's ability at least to regulate the issue of global warming.
Republicans get very, you know, you got conservative justices, a conservative majority on the court. You know, conservatives get very screwy when it comes to the environment. They really, you know, they think that, well, if we vote green, or if we're green, then people will like us. And they don't realize that never helps them. That's a bad strategy. I mean, it's the wrong thing to throw away, especially with global warming. I mean, it's too important an issue.
All right, this whole issue of tainted spinach, I don't want to make light of it at all. I know that's not an issue of junk science.
Yeah.
But if you would, you know, give me your thoughts. I just picked up an article the Wall Street Journal ran about a tiny law firm that is making hay out of tainted spinach. I mean, are there, you know, my belief
is...
Well,
I mean, anytime there's a tragedy, you know, the ambulance chasers are going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I mean, tainted spinach is not junk science. I mean, you know, cases of food poisoning happen from time to time, and... Yeah, you know, thankfully our food safety system is such that it's rare, but when it does happen, it, you know, it gets to be front page news as the spinach scare has been. But you know, we try to limit the damage. Overall, our food supply system is safe.
All right. What about what's happening in our school systems? I mean, how do you read it? I know you've got two children, one right there in the school system, another one that's going to be coming up into the school system, and all this stuff that I feel like they're force feeding my kids about nutrition and you know, I know my kids' health class, they had to watch that movie that Spurlock put out, Supersize Me.
Yeah.
And then I had to sort of decompose, or what's that word where you put them in, you take them in a room and you have to, you know, basically reteach them everything. You know, I had to teach them that anything
re-educate
or what is it that the military does? Help me, Stan. You know, when someone comes back from battle and they have to, you know, anyway.
Reorient them.
Well, so to speak. But anyway, I felt like I...
Debrief them?
I guess that would work. Okay. But I felt like I needed to do that after they had watched that film and help them to understand that, of course, if you anything you do in excess is going to have some negative implication, and we need to just take things in moderation.
You know what? Of all the things, I think this is the bottom line when it comes to teens. Of all the things that you are to worry about, you know, sex, drugs, alcohol, food is just not something that I'm going to scare my kids about. I'm not even quite sure I'm going to scare them about tobacco. I mean, if they stay away from sex, alcohol, and drugs, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, granted, you know, my children are not obese, and I'm very fortunate about that. Oh, it's deprogramming. I just thank you so much to the caller that called in and gave me the correct terminology. Anyway, you know, I don't have to worry too much about that. But I think a lot of our problems, you know, it's not necessarily the nutrition side of it. We just need to let them exercise more, you know. But we can't, because they're going to run into each other, and then there's going to be lawsuits because Susie ran into Bobby and Bobby fell. And
you know, with all the video games and internet, all that kind of stuff, and you know, we've allowed the trial lawyers to basically scare playground equipment out of schools. Yeah, there's just a lot of other things, you know, a lot of problems with encouraging physical activity.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for joining us on the program today to talk about junk science. Again, the website is junkscience.com. It's run by Steve Malloy. You can also read his weekly column at Fox News. And, Steve, does that go up on Junk Science as well?
It does.
Okay. So visit junkscience.com. And, again, you're going to want to visit it, as he indicated, in the next couple of weeks, because he's going to put up some exciting stuff. Can you give us a little bit of a teaser?
It'll explain the whole global warming mess.
The global warming mess. All right. Well, we will be looking for that. I need an explanation, and hopefully you can come and join us again after that information gets up there on the website.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time. All right, that's the end of this interview segment. When we come back, we've got 1 half hour left, and we will be joined by a gentleman. His name is Pete Sepp, and he's the Vice President for Communications for the National Taxpayers Union, and he's going to talk with us about tax-related issues, and believe it or not, he's going to educate us a little bit on how this may impact some of the most recent controversy in Washington, D.C., and what's been happening with Mark Foley. An interesting twist on all of that as it relates to our pocketbooks. So I hope you will stay tuned for the last half hour of Your Turn, the program I've dubbed Meeting Nonsense with Common Sense. We'll be right back.